Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today, the Thursday edition. One of the game days of the week. Happy to be here. Excited to talk. I mean, you know, it's October, so we got bunch of stuff.
Lots to talk about.
Dane and I are Yankees fans, so we are breathing a sigh of relief to some extent that they are on to the divisional series against the Red Sox. And speaking of the Red Sox, we got a game in New England tonight, and that is the Indianapolis Colts at the Pats. We'll get into this game in depth a little bit later, but Dane, as you just mentioned to me, it's a big spread. Could be a very popular survivor pick for a lot of people this week, which isn't always typical for the Thursday night game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, listen, if you're, you know, if you're thinking about the Pats, I think this is a great week. You know, take the teams out of it, okay? I love the home team on Thursday night, and when the road team that's coming in is going to be without, like, three or four of their offensive starters, I think it's a great opportunity. I've seen this at 10, Mike. I've also seen this at 10.5. 10.5 would scare me. I would stay away from 10.5.
Yeah, because you get the backdoor cover on something like that. That's something to consider. I may make this our survivor pick for this week. Obviously, for those of you listening, we haven't exactly been great on survivor picks. So
Speeds is 3-1. Speeds is 3-1.
And I only be out of every survivor pool. I would also be out because I'm 2-2.
It's true. I mean, my one loss was the Vikings when they, you know, obviously when Buffalo came in there and handled them. But in our best bets, I'll call them. How about that, Mike? Let's call them our best bets, our best money line plays.
The thing that worries me about the best bets is it implies that I would tell people to bet that with the spread or whatever.
No, best money line. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I'll concede.
And this way we can say later on in the season we'll be able to say, oh, we're 5-2 in our best bets on the money line this week, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, thanks for joining us this morning, listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, and any terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thanks. We appreciate it. So, you can hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds. So we're going to get through everything that we need to get through today and talk about the Pats and Colts a little bit later. But, Dane, obviously a lot of waiver wire runs have happened. You're talking about injury updates. First of all, why don't you give the injury updates for tonight's game? You mentioned the three or four starters.
Yeah, tonight's game, I think, is a mash unit on definitely on the Indianapolis side. You know, Jack Doyle is going to miss again, we know. Marlon Mack is going to miss. Remember, we've been talking about the potential of Robert Turbin coming off suspension, further cloudying that running back committee in Indianapolis. So Mack is out. Jack Doyle is out. T.Y. Hilton is out. And I think that's the big one, Mike. You know, so with Doyle out as well, we're talking, in essence, we're talking Ebron, we're talking Chester Rogers, and we're talking Ryan Grant as kind of any kind of weapons for Andrew Luck down the field. What I would say is in PPR formats, I would start Nyheim Hines this week. They're going to be down in this game.
So.
There's not many options. The game flow will be his friend. And Hines has carved out a role, in my opinion, as the PPR kind of back. With Robert Turbin returning, you now have Turbin and Wilkins there on early down kind of work. So that is muddled. But I think Hines has a clear role now in this offense and without other pass catchers. And what I expect the game script to be in this one, I think Hines is a decent play.
And there's no doubt we talked about it on Tuesday, exactly what you'd be looking at here. And I can tell you in one league I'm looking at, as I'm looking through my leagues, Nyheim Hines is still available. So that is something to consider. Who would you cut anybody for Nyheim Hines here, Dane? Jordan Howard is on a bye. Alex Collins, Derrick Henry, Carson Wentz, Isaiah Crowell, Buck Allen, or Kiki Coutte? It's tough, right?
It is tough.
Because you don't want to do it for a guy whose value is bumped for this 1 week. I think we've seen good value out of Hines here in the past couple. I think he is addable in certain leagues, but in a league I just gave you, and by the way, this is my worst team thus far record-wise. We're 1-3. And even still, I don't think I could add him over some of the other guys there. I own both Ravens running backs, which is
that's what I was going to mention.
But
you know, this idea of Alex Collins, they are losing faith in Alex Collins big time. And I can't believe I'm saying this. Bavona cut it up as a commercial on this network for us. Like, the Ravens are sort of evolving to be more on the arm of Joe Flacco, and that's because they don't trust Alex Collins. I mean, his fumbles, you hear Harbaugh saying you can't have it, you know. So, and the other thing for me, the Kiki QT, I like, but I don't know how much of his value is tied to Will Fuller's health.
True. The 15 targets last week obviously was supplemented on some level by Will Fuller coming out with a hamstring. But what I do think, and our guy Emory Hunt, I mentioned this the other day, you know, his position on it, and he's been on Coté for a while, is that they're going to have a difficult time running the ball, which they have so far this year. And
so the quick screen game is their run game?
Yeah, he's like almost an extended running game. They can fashion a running game out of his ability simply because they don't have the ability to run a traditional running game. I'll give you their rushing numbers right now in Houston. As my computer is being very temperamental. But right now, actually doing okay. They're ninth in yards. They're sixth in attempts. But they're 13th in yards per attempt. And they only have two rushing touchdowns right now. So the picture painted by those statistics isn't all that bad. But we're also talking about a team that is 1-3 and was effectively gifted at least a half a win by Frank Reich. You know, it easily could have been a tie. They could have played that out, or the Colts could have played it out a different way. But it kind of gift-wrapped them the win. They have not been very good thus far. So that's kind of my thoughts on Coutte. I do think there will be a possibility for him to continue to be valuable, even if Fuller is in. Right now, Lamar Miller, 3.9 yards per carry. Alfred Blue, 4 yards per carry. Deshaun Watson has obviously been pretty good in limited rushing actions, 24 carries through the 4 weeks.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, Nyheim Hines is an interesting ad. We talked about him in relation to some of these other guys on your team. But going back to the Thursday Night Football game, you know, Nyheim Hines could be an interesting play because there's a dearth of other playmakers there on Indianapolis on this short week on the road in a game where I think they're going to need to be chasing points. But Blewett, on the other side, is I think we have a decision to make in our league where we are in first place together, miles ahead of the competition at 4-0. We have Rob Gronkowski, right? And
yes, sir.
Blewett, I am it's a different situation, right? And I understand that. But I am very concerned that, similar to my concern about Dalvin Cook last Thursday night, I am similarly concerned about Rob Gronkowski's usage. I'm similarly concerned about him coming back on the short week. And I'm concerned. Listen, I think the Pats are going to boat race Indianapolis tonight. So when it's 23-7 in the third quarter, I think they're going to be like, you know what? We need to work Edelman back in. We need to get Josh Gordon some confidence and chemistry with Brady. Gronk, thanks a lot. We'll take it from here. I'm worried about that scenario. And Scott made a good point last hour that if they do score a lot of points, Gronk is going to probably be helpful in that effort. But I'm worried about his usage, even if he's active tonight. And I know our other tight end is the Rastafari, Austin Safarian Jenkins, and he's up against Kansas City. And people score against Kansas City.
They are the fourth worst team against opposing tight ends.
Do we make the switch?
This week, the third worst, because the Bucs are on a bye.
Do we make the switch? I know it sounds crazy if Gronk is active, like you start Gronk, and I understand that. But I'm leaning towards maybe we don't. How do you feel about that one?
I think that you approach it the way I would always approach things like this. Unless you're told that or it is leaked that the guy is on a pitch count, I think you put him out there. Gronk can do enough damage in one quarter for him to extract value. And if he's inactive, then you make the switch and call it a day and take your chances with Seferian Jenkins against,
the
Chiefs on Sunday. So I would also say that if Gronk does play, I think we can immediately release the other tight end for somebody, Seferian Jenkins, for somebody like a Cameron Brate or other better options on the waiver wire. I know some of our competitors are listening, but I'm just trying to give people a sense of what I would do. Cameron Brate is out there on some waiver wires still. I know waivers ran last night. I bet you got picked up in a lot of leagues with O.J. Howard being out for the next month, but something to consider. Cameron Brate is very strange. He was a zero for 2 weeks, like a zero, an actual zero for 2 weeks. And then he caught a touchdown against the Steelers, and I was like, all right, they're working him back in here. And then another touchdown last week with Jameis Winston under center, who showed at least some preference for Cameron Brate last year and the year before. So I think Cameron Brate's value will continue to increase here as we move along without O.J. Howard and perhaps make them both have some value throughout the rest of the season. I've had a lot of questions about tight ends this week, Dane, just because the position, as I've said this so many times, every year this happens. This situation with tight ends is a complete mess. This may be a particularly messy season, but it's out of control now because people are saying, well, who do I pick up? They're sending me screenshots, my friends.
Right.
Who do I pick up from this? Do I pick up Jesse James or Ricky Seals-Jones or, you know, all kinds of questions like that. And honestly, I'm looking at guys like Jeff Swaim and Cameron Brate and others that I think are perhaps even better options. Plus, you now got Hayden Hurst coming back. So that's an option.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've also talked about the opportunity that might be there for Tyler Croft in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Now Red that Eifert is gone, you know, I'm not as big on Ellison because think about the other targets there in New York that are severely prioritized over him. Absolutely. But, you know, Eric Ebron is back there. Listen, people should have listened to me when we were talking about Vance McDonald 2 weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? If people wound up picking up Vance McDonald when I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, you'd have someone that you could be happy about now on a week-to-week basis in a prolific offense. I also mentioned my guy, Heuerman, you know, and it's a little crazy, I acknowledge, but, you know, the path has been cleared with Jake Butt now on IR. I like the name you mentioned, Hayden Hurst coming back for Baltimore. Remember, this was an early tight end pick, and Flacco has always utilized the tight end. And then, you know, there's other guys. I mean, another thing you could do is get ahead of the curve, right? Try and get O.J. Howard, even though it's going to be 3 weeks down the road. Try and get Evan Ingram, even though it might be 3 weeks down the road. You know, that sort of thing. But, yeah, tight end is a wasteland.
I picked up Tariq Cohen in a league last night because somebody had dropped him before the week, before he had the big game. And the way the waiver wires lined up, I just put in for him. I know he's on a bye, but I think I immediately improved my roster for the long term. That might be Tariq Cohen's best game of the year, but I think he's going to be valuable. They obviously need to use him. The offense was better getting guys like Gabriel and Cohen out in space and screw Jordan Howard. If I were Jordan Howard owner, which I am, by the way, because I just rattled him off as part of one of the teams, I'd be really concerned right now. The offense looked way better when he wasn't a part of it.
That's true, but at the same time, I've had some people tell me that they're in leagues where Jordan Howard was dropped because he's got a bye this week. And if he's available on your waiver wire, you got to pick him up, despite the fact that I understand what you're saying there. You know, and they have a bye this week. You know, some people are forced into weird decisions, Mike, with the bye weeks, right? And so our guy, to be quite honest, Blewett, our guy Danny Otto, okay, our producer popping off, he texts me about, you know, his own league. I'm trying to help him out. And he's like, yo, Jordan Howard just got dropped. I was like, yo, pick him up. It's absolutely okay. Yeah. Like, he's a legit guy, even though I hear you in terms of what this offense is starting to look like as it moves forward.
Yeah, I mean, he's a second-round pick in a lot of leagues, third-round pick, and now his value appears to be deteriorating, but it's not to the point where I think you should cut him. It could conceivably, by the end of the year, if Trubisky continues to play well, not like he did the other day, but play well, I think they'll continue to improve and be an offense that can score. And that is the type of guy that you still want to hang on to. He may not be ripping off 100-yard games, but if they're moving the ball down the field and he gets some goal line cracks, then, yeah, he's valuable. He still touched the ball 200 times this year.
Right, and hopefully what we see, and we didn't see it as much, he could be, if the Bears' offense gets better, that means they may have to grind out some fourth quarters, and then Jordan Howard, in terms of game script, you know, is a good play on volume if they start winning some games.
Would you rather have Jordan Howard or Alex Collins right now?
Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard or listen, Buck Allen?
Buck Allen. See, that's the thing. I'm really down on Alex Collins. Yeah, I'm down on Alex Collins. I think he's in the doghouse. The comments that Harbaugh made about, like, can't have it, his fumbling, like, that was a big change. You know, the Ravens should have been up, like, 21-0 in that game, and it wound up being 14-14 in that second quarter. I don't think Alex Collins – you talk about Jordan Howard's, like, usage evaporating. I think it's happening to Alex Collins even more.
Yeah. So Jordan Howard's games thus far, 15 carries for 82 yards in week one, 14 for 35, brutal. 24 for 61 in a score, and then 11 for 25 in a game where there's six touchdown passes, and they put up 48 points. I mean, that is what is disturbing about it. But I wouldn't panic. I'd keep them through the bye week. I'd consider playing them again. Let's see what their next game is. They will play after the bye week. They play at Miami. And then they have the Pats and the Jets at Buffalo. Weird, again, another three AFC East teams in a row. There's a bunch of scheduling quirks like that this year. Well, let me recap at least one waiver wire that I was a part of. And it's funny because I didn't buy in on this guy necessarily a few weeks ago, like as a stash, unless it was a deeper league. But now I've targeted him in a few leagues. So Kiki Kuti, I ended up getting him. I dropped Devontae Parker finally for $151 on the bids. Andy Dalton got picked up in cutting Dak Prescott for $144 on the remaining bids there. It's $1,000 budget here, so you're getting a sense. And this is in week four, so budgets are already gone. What people are spending. Chester Rogers.
Chester Rogers is strategic. Interesting, yeah. That's a one-week play.
$118. Yeah, it is. That's the thing. The Ryan Grant, Chester Rogers thing, I debated a lot at the beginning of the year. We have Ryan Grant in one of our leagues for now. Now. We'll see if we are.
We'll see what happens.
A little bit when these waivers run. And I have Chester Rogers in a dynasty league, so I'm obviously going to play him this week. But I just wonder what that looks like going forward, the Chester Rogers-Ryan Grant scenario. I think that's going to be almost impossible to tell until like a month from now when we look back at it.
Right, and then a month from now, T.Y. Hilton will be back. Jack Doyle will be back, rendering their value a little bit lower anyway.
You think they're both valuable tonight, though?
Oh, tonight, yes. Yeah. Tonight, yeah, I do. Yeah, no. Indy's going to have to throw Andrew Luck. They can't run. Andrew Luck's going to put it up 45 times. Someone's got to catch it.
Yeah, Mike Davis got picked up. Marquez Valdez-Scantling picked up. Rashard Higgins. Alfred Blue. We'll do that a little bit more, and we'll do some snap counts when we come back. It's Mike and Dane on FST on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
We're back on FST, and BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI is now offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit if you use promo code FNTSY. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY, so head on over to BetDSI and start winning today. So, Dane, as we normally like to do in our Thursday shows, is give people a sense of what snap counts looked like for certain teams and who is playing over whom. It's an important thing to know as you go throughout the season and you discuss whether a guy's value is increasing or whether he is ultimately droppable. But a team that we've looked at for the last 2 weeks is the Denver Broncos. So and their wide receiver position. So I think we'll start there. And let me go to the first one.
Yeah, because I'm interested in Courtland Sutton. When I watch Monday Night Football, you know, I saw that I think they're working him in a lot over Demaryius Thomas, potentially even. They're putting him on the opposite side of bunch formations. You saw on critical third downs, they're going to him. I'm wondering if he has already leapfrogged Demaryius Thomas in that offense.
Not yet. Not yet. Getting close. But this might be indicative of the fact that I wonder how many offensive plays they ran. I would like to see that. If you can pick that up, let me know how many offensive plays they ran. Just combine the rushes and the pass attempts and let me know. But
bring that up on Monday night?
Yes. So on Sanders was 54. He led the wide receiving corps with 54 snaps. DT was second with 51. And Sutton was third with 42. So a big part of it still. And, you know, you and I put in a bid on Courtland Sutton. We'll see if we get him. But I do think he's getting to the point where he could be valuable. They haven't yet shown an ability.
Plays.
So there you go. Sanders was in on nearly, you know, 98% of those snaps. So, but Sutton out there for 42 of 55. That's pretty good.
It sure he's out is. There. And I mean, Sutton's six targets. Demaryius Thomas is seven targets, you know.
76% of the snaps.
Yeah, but it looks to me like Keenum is starting to have eyes for Sutton over Demaryius Thomas. So if they get in there more, if that kind of like normalizes a little bit more and it's close, I think Sutton is viable, especially, and I've said this point before, if you're in a dynasty league, you need Courtland Sutton because these guys are free agents. Demaryius Thomas is a free agent at the end of the year too. So I think they're, I think they're priming the pump for that for the future.
So what's interesting is Golden Tate has the big game, right? Mm-hmm. He only had 42 snaps to Kenny Galladay's 53. And Marvin Jones, let's see, Marvin Jones, a lot of guys named Jones here. Marvin Jones had 50. So Golden Tate saw the least number of snaps, and Galladay saw the most. So, Kenny Galladay is probably owned by a lot of people, but I think it's important to keep looking at snapshots like that to see if there's – anything viable. Let me see James Washington. 47 snaps for James Washington. Juju had 60. And Brown had, let me just double check, Antonio Brown had 59. So,
could you do a pitch for tight ends?
Still not out there much.
What was the tight end split between Jesse James and Vance McDonald? Because I think Vance is, you know, everybody who listens to this show, if you listen to this network, I've been on Vance McDonald for a while. So what's the snaps there?
Let me get that one. It shouldn't be that difficult. I look, from just watching game flow, I think you can tell, like, this is a blowout now. Like, Vance McDonald is way in front as to guys taking snaps. So Jesse James had 27 snaps, and Vance McDonald, let me get it for you, Vance had 39. So
50% more.
Yeah, but, you know, based on what I just said about the Pittsburgh wide receivers, that means they were running a decent amount of three
wides.
Wide receiver sets. And, you know, I think there's probably some instances where, you know, Connor was split out. I'd have to go back and rewatch the game to see how often. But obviously the tight ends weren't even out there that often. You know, it's 39 snaps only for Vance McDonald, who is who's a tight end that is clearly the dominant pass catcher now in that offense. It doesn't mean Jesse James doesn't have any value, but in most of the leagues that those of you listening are talking about, Jesse James doesn't need to be out there. Like, maybe he's a bye week fill-in, but really he's not going to be a guy that you need unless you're in deep dynasty league or something like that. I think something that we won't judge yet, but it's something that could be interesting going forward, is the Baltimore tight ends, because that, you talk about fantasy herd, that's something that's been impossible to figure out, right?
Yeah, and
Mark
Hurst is going to further
Max
complicate
Williams,
that.
Hayden Hurst, exactly. So I just wonder if they got so many young guys there too. It's impossible to know who Flacco is going to feel comfortable with. He might not feel comfortable with any of them because he's got a very veteran wide receiver core.
Yeah, it's true. And I think John Brown, he's starting to build chemistry with, you know, in the snap count world, Talk to me about Buck Allen versus Alex Collins and like how that's been trending, because I think Buck Allen is probably seeing an increase in snaps, right? And Alex Collins, they said it, that they benched him after the fumble, right? And the words coming out of Baltimore with Harbaugh saying like, you can't have it, that sort of stuff. I really think we could start to see a flip-flop. I really believe Buck Allen could be the Baltimore back to own moving forward.
Okay, so Buck Allen. The first 4 weeks, 30 snaps, 42 snaps, 39 snaps, 33 snaps. Alex Collins is 27 snaps. This is almost identical. 42, the exact same number of snaps. Then 35, slightly less. And then 36, slightly more. So they are right down Broadway. They've split the snaps almost identically. I think Buck Allen, has, according to this math, has four more snaps on the whole season. But I think that here's what I'll say about the Collins thing. I think that's a shot across the bow. Get your ass together or you're going to get benched.
Swift kick in the butt.
I don't think this is the week where it changes unless he does it again. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so you're on his last chance to you. His last chance saloon for Alex Collins.
Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, is a guy that gives last chances to guys every week. Every week is Amari Cooper's last chance, and every week is Sammy Watkins' last chance. So I will summon Corey Parson and say that this is Alex Collins' last chance, I would say, for his starting role as a Ravens running back. Forget fantasy. I think Harbaugh's going to be done with it if he fumbles again.
They are at Cleveland, divisional matchup where the Cleveland Browns
are
home dogs. And you know how much I love those home dogs to bark. The Cleveland Browns are getting 3 points. They're getting 3 points at home against these Baltimore Ravens. And listen, the Browns defense is better than people think. Myles Garrett putting on a show this year. Do you think maybe they want to have more of the passing back of Buck Allen in this one?
It's a fair question.
How do you see that game? How do you see that game overall? Interesting,
I like the Ravens
division matchup. You do?
Yeah, I like the Ravens. I think they're playing a much better brand of football. The Browns they're still browning it up. They're 1-3.
Yeah, but that Ravens,
they could be 4-0.
They
really could be.
They're not 1-3. They are 1-2-1.
Sorry, 1-2-1. I keep forgetting that stupid tie. But if they hit kicks, they're 3-1.
Right.
And
if they get screwed, if they get a good spot out in Oakland, right? Like there's reasons they could easily be 4-0.
What are they doing? They still need 45.
You know, you're right. Do you think Joe Flacco is going to come in and put 45 up on them? I mean, to me, the Ravens are one of those teams, and Joe Flacco is one of those guys where, like, I think he is better at home than on the road. I wonder about him in a road start. This Browns defense is not too shabby. Denzel Ward might pick him off.
A lot of people were off the Ravens. I was not completely off of them. I thought they would be right around 8-8, 9-7 is what I said. I thought they could be the sixth playoff team. I ended up picking the Chiefs as my sixth playoff team, right?
You have as your AFC wild cards
now.
As your AFC wild cards, you have the Kansas City Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars, because you have the Titans winning the AFC South and the Chargers winning the AFC West. So you have Jacksonville and KC. I have Jacksonville and Cincinnati as my two wild cards.
The Steelers are really going to jam this whole thing up
by losing
games. You're going to have Baltimore and Cincinnati competing for wild card spots or the division. So, and hell.
I raised my hand to Blewett. I was off the Ravens. I thought it was going to unravel. I will raise my hand and say that I'm wrong on this one. I didn't like them. I also didn't like the Bengals, although I warmed to them in the preseason when we saw their offensive line. But I was definitely down on the Bengals and on the Ravens. And I can say at this point in the season, looks like that was not a great call by the spitting statistician.
Okay. We'll do the one more snap count thing. Mike Davis, 47 snaps. Rashad Penny. Oof. What do you think he did? How many snaps?
Well, you just said oof.
Mike Davis.
So, I'm going to go with 21 snaps.
It's even worse. 16 snaps for Rashad Penny.
Wow. Wow. And if Carson comes back too, that further muddles it.
So. It does, yeah.
You think they wind up going with Mike Davis and Chris Carson? Is like, are you cutting Rashad Penny?
You know what I would do? I would punt this whole situation. Yeah. I have Chris Carson in my dynasty league, and I played him in the week where he had a good game because I had nothing left. I'm finally getting Mark Ingram back.
Right.
In fact, the other day, I won, and the only running back I had was Mike Gillisley. That's how deep that dynasty league is and how poor my running back situation is. So he scored like 2 points, so I'll take it. But because Carson was inactive and Ingram was suspended, so I'm finally getting somebody back that can get 10 touches or so. But there you go. Honestly, the Mike Davis thing is just – that's when you just throw your hands up in the air and be like, all right, I don't know what they're doing. 47 snaps. They obviously don't trust Penny right now. 16 snaps.
Yeah.
You know, in a game where they won. So what can I say? I mean, that seems to be – if it's a winning formula for them, why would they change it up? We knew that this running game would struggle throughout the year, and now here we are, and it's – guess what? It's struggling.
Here's the other thing, though. This week, the Seattle Seahawks, they take on the Los Angeles Rams, and the Rams are a team that can force you into a shootout, like we've said with the Chiefs as well, right? So the Seahawks are going to wind up real quickly, in my opinion, abandoning any semblance of a run game, and this is going to be Russell Wilson playing schoolyard football all day long. So I wouldn't want any of the Seattle running backs, unless it's like, you know, the pass-catching kind of guy, because I don't think they're going to have the ability to grind it out with Davis or, you know, Carson if he comes back. They're going to be forced out of their game, out of their scheme real quick by this Rams offense.
Can this be CJ Procise, by the way?
CJ Procise. So
he had 3 snaps the other day. But to your point, maybe they have to mix it up because they can't have it.
Maybe he's got to be on the field a little bit more this one. If they're down, you know, when they're down 27 to 10 in the third quarter, they're going to have him on the field.
Do you think anything can happen? You know how the NFL is a week-to-week league, and we say it all the time, and wacky things happen. You think anything weird can happen with the Rams going up to Seattle and getting surprised? It's only a 7.5-point spread right
now. The half point would scare me.
50.5. Yeah, I hate that hook as well.
That hook would scare me, and you know the narrative of the divisional matchups. Anything can happen, right? I think the Rams win this game, but the hook scares me. You know, taking a home and Seattle. You know, yes, I understand the Legion of Boom is not there. I understand they're not the same team. I understand this home field advantage may not be the same, but you know, they do have that home field advantage with the 12s and all that. It is a division matchup, and giving the Seahawks as a home dog the hook over 7, to me, it's a stay away. You know, I do think ultimately the Rams can win and cover because they've been lights out, similar to how I believe the Patriots can win and cover, but the hook would scare me. So for both of these, if you have the option to stay away, that's what I would do.
So, switching gears over to the Devontae Freeman news. He expected to be back this week, so Tevin Coleman owners may see, obviously, a huge hit here in his value. But it's just a very curious kind of quote. I'm in tune with my body and myself. This is from Devontae Freeman via ESPN.com. I'm in tune with my body and myself, so I know when I can be me. Just getting back out there when I'm comfortable enough. I think right now I'm comfortable enough to get out there. I feel good. I feel explosive. I'm ready to run. The comfortable enough thing just... Yeah. Strikes me as odd. It's like
enough is the word. That's in
just
there,
say
right?
You're good to go. Yeah, like.
But I saw another report that he was like chomping at the bit to get out there. You know, so I don't know. I'm excited, to be quite honest. I'm excited about this one. This is my good old game stack. Blew it 57.5 total. We know what the Steelers defense has been like. You know what I've been saying against the Falcons defense. I am considering. You know, because I'm game stacking this bad boy. I'm considering Freeman as a DFS running back this week because he is let me look at the prices here over on FanDuel. Listen, Coleman is at 6,900. Freeman is at 6,800. You know, and in that game, Connor's all the way up at 7,800. But Atlanta's going to score some points, okay? And maybe if Freeman's back... Maybe they run him out there, and Coleman's on the injury report now, too. So I think this is a value right here, Freeman at 6,800.
So what I would do on this over, what we've seen throughout the year thus far when we've seen these huge totals, Dane, is we've seen them come down closer to game time. I think I'd want to wait on this total to see if I can get it down to 54.5, 55, something like that before I hit the over. Does that make sense?
It does.
Because right now I'm needing a 30 to 28 game just to cover it by a half point.
Right. But you can get 30. You can get 31, 24 if it comes down a little bit. I like that. I would wait. I would wait on this total. But I do think this one is going to be the ones that kind of like live up to the billing as a shootout.
Yeah. The Steelers haven't shown any ability yet to stop anybody. So I think that is one of the highlight games for this week because one of these teams – is going to be in really big trouble. Atlanta.
Yeah, the loser of this game.
The Steelers. The loser of this game is in trouble. Yeah, big. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say in the NFC South, the AFC North, I think it's even worse for the Steelers if they lose because, listen, the Ravens and the Bengals have been there. In the NFC South, right, you know, the Falcons, if they lose, is one thing. You know, the Saints are there, but the Bucs are surprised. They're going to fall off. They're like a speed horse to me at the track, you know. They're going to fade, clearly. And Carolina, I still haven't been able to figure out, but I think there's stiffer competition for the Steelers in the AFC North right now, and so that's why I think it's an even bigger game for Pittsburgh, and they're at home.
Yeah, we'll talk about a couple other spotlight games on the other side, but I think one of them is going to be the Jaguars and Chiefs. That obviously, it's got to be one of the most watched games this week from an NFL standpoint. I'm not suggesting ratings or anything like that, but it could be. You got a 3-1 Jaguars team and a 4-0 Chiefs team that, you know, it's one of the better defenses in the league, meeting the top offense in the league, and I think that'll be an interesting one to watch. We will break that game down a little bit. We'll obviously talk about tonight's game, Pats Colts. I think I've convinced myself to pick the Pats for my survivor pick already, Dane. So why don't we come back? We'll talk a little bit about Chiefs Jaguars, talk Pats Colts, and one other game. It's FST Thursday edition. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on FST Thursday edition, head on over to DailyRoto.com. It's the industry-leading daily fantasy site that has produced seven separate FanDuel and DraftKings million-dollar tournament winners and millions more in smaller prizes for countless subscribers. So once you're there, just click on Go Premium. You can use the same daily fantasy line optimizer that's helped DailyRoto customers achieve remarkable success. And if it's sports wagering you're into, click on the new sports betting tab. We'll be able to use the same tools that have produced all those daily fantasy winnings from moneyline picks, picks against the spread, game totals, and player props. So go to DailyRoto.com and enter FNTSY for a special discount. It's DailyRoto.com, the industry website where millionaires are made, literally. So thanks for joining us this morning. You know, if you want to give us a call, I'll actually open up the phone lines here in case people have some Thursday night questions. 844-843-6879. Lovely producer Chris Pavona will take your calls and line them up. And the Dane, our waivers just ran. So I'm looking at it right now. What did we get? What did we get, Dane? It's like Christmas morning. Who did we get on the waiver run in our league, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, in our staff league, that's the word I'm looking for. So here's the transactions. What did we get? We got Adam Vinatieri, so that's fun. And we got Cortland Sutton and Taylor Gabriel. And that's it. We didn't get Kiki Kuti. Oh, my God, we got outbid by $8. We put it $161. He was one at 169. So I dropped Ryan Grant this week, Dean, for Taylor Gabriel, but we weren't playing him anyway, right? Hello? All All right, Dane may have dropped off.
Sorry, yeah, I got muted. My off. Bad. So,
yeah,
sorry. I'm here.
So
sorry about that.
So I think he was angry that I dropped Ryan Grant, so he dropped
it's
off the line
true.
For a minute. So,
but I was looking, and you know, we're going Michael Thomas, we're going Manny Sanders, we're going Nelson Agholor. Though Nelson Agholor is trending down, but I still think we start him, and there's no room for him in our flex. Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Sony Michel. So no, we weren't starting Grant anyway.
So we have Taylor Gabriel and Courtland Sutton instead of Ryan Grant and Brandon Marshall. I think on the whole, an upgrade. You're not as big yep. on Taylor Gabriel as I am, but you're probably a little higher on Courtland Sutton than I am. So this is what happens when you co-own a league. Neither has had Absolutely. Any problem dropping Brandon Marshall. I think Ryan Grant is somebody, obviously, for this week that you can hang on to and however long T.Y. Hilton is out.
Yeah, and I refer back to, you know how, you know, we've been sharing this team. We've been making collaborative decisions, Blewett. We are 4-0, as everyone knows. I want to say this, though. The first time we differed on a decision was our first round pick at the draft. And you wanted to go Leonard Fournette. I decided to take a stand on Melvin Gordon. That worked out well for us.
What a huge change. Yes, what a huge change that was.
That worked out well for us, I would say.
Yeah, we collaborated on the Gronk decision, so we're both taking a little bit of heat for that one. I can't remember the other ones during the draft, but I was adamant about James Conner, so that's helped us early in the season. But the Leonard Fournette, Melvin Gordon decision is something that a lot of people, I'm sure, hemmed and hawed about.
Right, if you were picking 7, 8, 9, something like that. Yep.
I heard you and Scott talking in the preview. I heard you and Scott talking in the previous hour. They're saying it could be a lost season for Leonard Fournette just because he's going to be dealing with this hamstring issue. If I were them, I'd just shut him down for like 3 weeks.
I'm off.
They don't need him now. They need him in January.
I completely agree with you. And T.J. Yeldon has shown that he is serviceable in these short stints, okay?
Yes, he is.
I completely agree with you. They brought him back
too soon. He's a really good guy to have for 3 weeks.
You know, they brought him back in week 4 way too soon. Like what? Because they were worried about what the Jets could do? I mean, I just think they've mismanaged this. They need to shut him down for a little bit. I completely agree with you. They need him after Thanksgiving, not right now. I don't understand what they're doing. Dr. A, last Friday, literally said this is going to happen if they bring him back too soon. And there you go. I mean, I'm completely with you. They need to shut him down for like a month. And when they think he's healthy and ready, then they need to hold him out for another 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, and Dane, if you wanted, we could, when waivers open back up, we could drop Latavius Murray and pick Ryan Grant back up. So something to consider. We could do it for a far cheaper price than I just spent on a guy that's going into a buy. But whatever.
It's all good.
So, but I felt like this was the time to jump on the Bears. I felt like their price would be depressed across all the leagues. So for those leagues where Cohen was out there and Gabriel is out there and anybody else on the Bears that might be out there, which is probably unlikely with the rest of them, I think this is a time to jump on it. So let's talk about some of the spotlight games. We got cut off by Jaguars and Chiefs, obviously. Get me the spread on that one, but I'll drop a couple of stats on it. So T.J. Yeldon had 100 scrimmage yards last week. Fournette's going to be out this week. So he aims for his third in a row with 90-plus scrimmage yards, to Dane's point that he just made. He's very serviceable in these times, not just for the Jaguars, but for fantasy owners. He had a touchdown catch in the last meeting between these two teams. And he's had 65 scrimmage yards and a touchdown in 2 of the past 3 on the road. So his game is traveling a little bit. D.D. Westbrook obviously set career highs with 9 catches and 130 receiving yards last week. Dante Moncrief had 109 and a touchdown catch last week as well. So what are your thoughts, Dane, on that dynamic of the Jaguars wide receivers? We know that Keelan Cole is a guy that we like, but is it something where D.D. Westbrook and or Dante Moncrief become valuable for this team moving forward?
I'm so conflicted on this game, Mike. I really am. I have so many competing narratives in my head. First thing, you asked about it. The Chiefs are 3-point home favorites in Kansas City at Arrowhead. So they are -3. And the over-under, which is, I think, the most interesting one, right? Because this game is billed as the unstoppable force against the immovable object, right? You know, but yet they're setting the total, it looks like, under the assumption that the Chiefs offense will carry the day. You know what I mean? This total is at 49. It's not in the 50s, but that's the highest you're going to see for a Jaguars game. Here's where I'm conflicted, to bring it back to your question, Mike, about the Jags wide receivers. Okay. Remember Matt Patricia against the Patriots on Sunday Night Football a couple of weeks ago? And what we said he does, and what we say these teams kind of need to do is to utilize the run game, keep this vaunted offense off the field, have them not run plays, that sort of thing. So for me, and we know that that is what Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone want to do, run the ball, play good defense, right? So that's one narrative that I would say could be the under and could be the idea of like, I'm not really on these Jaguars wide receivers because I think even more than most games, they're going to want to be conservative and run the ball. So that's one narrative. The competing, conflicting narrative I also believe in is the Chiefs force you out of your game flow real quick, you know, and everybody puts up points against the Chiefs. And you've made the point a number of times and have started to compel me, Blewett, that, you know, the Jags actually do pass the ball. You know, you've been putting up stats about like Bortles attempts and stuff. So I'm so conflicted. If you ask me to put a gun to my head, I think the narrative I'll go with is they want to keep Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs off the field. I think they're going to run the ball more. So I don't know about these Jaguars wideouts on the outside.
Yeah. And what's interesting, too, is that Keelan Cole was the guy where when Marquise Lee went down, people were like, it's going to be Keelan Cole. He'll be the guy.
Right.
And after the first 2 weeks, you were like, hey, look at that. 7 for 116 and a touchdown in week two. The last 2 weeks, he's got 7 catches for 50 yards. And D.D. Westbrook, so far this season, 5 catches for 51, 4 for 82 and a touchdown, 3 for 31, and then 9 for 130. He's really consistently been a part of this offense. It's pretty interesting to look at it. Whereas Moncrief, he's had a touchdown in 2 of the last 3, but he only had one game that you would even, I mean, the touchdown is just an ancillary part of that game. He's 4 for 34. Outside of that, it's 1 for 14 and 2 for 16, and then they use him last week, 5 for 109. You know, Corey Grant has had a bunch of catches in there, too. Austin Seferian Jenkins, it's really disappointing when you look at the numbers. He's got 3 catches, 3 catches, 3 catches, 2 catches. Not for any more than 25 yards. You need a touchdown out of him. He's obviously not a part of this passing offense yet. Plus, T.J. Yeldon catches passes. So I think you need to keep an eye on D.D. Westbrook. But to your point, a little bit of a fantasy herd, a little bit of them trying to slow it down for this particular week. This may not be your best week to start anybody based on the game flow that you're projecting. But I'm looking here, where do the Chiefs
stack up? You like the over-under?
Opposing wide receivers.
You take the over on the
Chiefs
under on this
up,
one,
by the way, middle of the pack on opposing wide receivers. Would I take the over or the under?
49
is basically
the total.
49.
Yeah.
Oh, so what is that looking like? What is that with a 3-point spread?
24-21 doesn't get it done. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here.
They're saying 26-23.
Yeah.
It needs to be 27-23 to go over. I could see that.
I could also see this game being 27.
That's exactly what the score was. 27-23 was the exact score against the Broncos on Monday night, wasn't it?
Yes, that is true.
And that was in Denver with a pretty good defense. You know, it's this is now at home against a really good defense.
But
so
I think the Jags are
a
better defense.
One. Here's what I'll say. I would not touch that number. I'm out. I'm off that game. I can't be confident. If I see some stuff along these next couple of days that could get me excited about it, then I'll be on it. But I can't sign off on that bet. I think it's too close. I mean, Vegas, you know, Vegas might be nailing the number there. And if it's a 27-23 game, that's a sweat that I don't need on a Sunday afternoon. So
hey, Blue, we got to talk official picks, and we got a caller, though, too. We got a caller on the line.
All right, what do we got?
We got Holly in New Jersey. Here. Let's take Holly in New Jersey.
Holly in New Jersey.
And then we'll make our picks on Thursday Night Football. What's up, Holly?
Okay. Holly in New Jersey, going once.
Hello?
Holly in New Jersey, going twice.
Hey,
Holly,
hey,
how are you?
Hello?
Yes, how are you, Holly? Yes,
hey,
I can hear you.
Hey, hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. Good morning. I am having a running back issue, and I wanted to get y'all insight on what I should do. Current running backs that I have right now is Giovanni Bernard, James Conner, Ajayi. I am a Leonard Fournette owner, a Lamar Miller owner. I have Aaron Jones. I have been looking to trade Fournette. I'm trying to ship him off, but nobody's been biting. But I just received a trade offer trying to take James Conner away from me for Jordan Howard and Allen Robinson.
It doesn't help me for this week.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't.
But it does for the future, Holly. I mean, if you're in, if you're like 3-1, if you're 4-0, listen, James Conner is going to evaporate for you in the fantasy playoffs. And that's a concern for me if you're primed and ready to go for the playoffs. So I think Blewett is right. It doesn't help you in the short term. But my question back for you is, like, you know, are you playing the long term right now or the short term based on your record? Because some of your other running backs were okay.
I mean, I'm trying to play the long term. That's why I was trying to get some trades out to bring back a, you know, a healthier running back. But nobody's biting on Fournette, obviously. I'll try to ship him out even for a Kerryon Johnson, and Lamar Miller sucks. So
yes, he does. Shout out to Corey Parsons.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, Blewett, you're the Steelers expert, man. James Conner's got 2 weeks left, man. It sounds like, at least. So, like, isn't now the time to, like, sell him when you can still?
I'd say so if you can get something for him, and you're getting a Jordan Howard, Allen Robinson combined offer. I would do that.
But I don't need I'm good at wide. I would have to drop one of my other wide receivers. I have Diggs, Adams, Alshon Jeffrey, and John Brown.
I actually think that's a decent deal straight up. Like, Howard is the exact kind of guy I would be targeting in a flip of James Conner right now, like, straight up. The fact that you're also getting Allen Robinson, honestly, to me, is just gravy. So, to me, that's really interesting. I understand what that does to you and the rest of your roster construction. But, Holly, thanks for the call. This is the exact kind of move I think I would consider to try to cash out on James Conner right now.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be able to cut somebody instead of in favor of Allen Robinson. He's too valuable to keep somebody else around. So, I think you might be in a bind for this week, but I'm with Dane. I think it's the type of value that you're trying to extract out of James Conner. If somebody's giving you a 2-for-1, and they're probably hurting because of the bye week, they're trying to get somebody in under the wire.
Yeah, they're giving her two bears.
I don't mind you hurting, unless you're like 1-3 and you can't afford to lose this week. I think you'd be okay. I think James Conner can have a good game here this week. I think that's obviously possible that he can have a good game here. I'll tell you who they're playing next week as well.
The Cincy.
Come on.
It's Cincy.
So it's Cincy.
Pittsburgh's got Cincy.
Right?
And then the bye, yeah.
Right.
So I think now is the time to sell Conner, though. He could have a great week, but she's getting two Bears back because of the bye week. Listen, in 2 weeks, Holly's going to love having Jordan Howard over James Conner. I think she pulls the trigger.
Yeah. And I don't know that it, quote-unquote, fixes your running back, but I think long-term, you're better off with that 2-for-1 because James Conner, I think his role is going to really practically disappear once Le'Veon Bell comes back. They're going to use Le'Veon Bell the way Le'Veon Bell needs to be used. And the only thing you're holding on hope is I think you don't cut James Conner in any leagues. I think you just stash him there at the end of the bench. He's the unplayable guy. And if Bell comes back and he's not in football shape, he tweaks a hamstring and he's like, peace, guys. I'm not going to hurt myself because I'm going to be a free agent. So I'll just be over here.
I saw what happened to Earl Thomas.
with a thigh wrap on for the rest of the year. So don't, you know.
Catch
don't
me on the stationary bike, guys.
Yeah. So, all right. How much time we got here? We got
a minute or two. Are you making a patch or survivor minutes. Pick? I am declaring right now, Blewett, the Patriots are my survivor pick for week 5. I'm putting it in our spreadsheet. Right, so, Scotty made one of his official picks tonight, Pats minus 10.
So I'm in on making a pick tonight as well. I've already did.
Pats, your survivor pick for week 5?
Yes, sir. Cool. Yes, sir. So there we go. As far as the spread, I don't like the 10.5.
I don't either. I'm staying away. The back door would be open there. I could see that very easily being this game being 27-10, and then Andrew Luck gets a last drive in garbage time to make it 27-17 final, something like that.
They throw the ball a million times.
Yep.
So they can just, you know, anything can happen in the fourth quarter there. Hey, Ryan Grant's running free. And then you'll text me.
Right.
See, Ryan Grant scored a touchdown. Why'd you cut him? All that kind of stuff. So,
nah, I think this is backdoor cover.
As far as, this game tonight, look, you got to keep an eye on Gronk. Wait to see if there's any news about the pitch count. And if there's no pitch count, I think you got to roll out there in just about every league. Very rare are you going to have an embarrassment of riches that you can bench Gronk. Dana and I talked about our situation. I'm not playing Austin Seferian Jenkins unless Gronk is out, or we're told that there is 20 like a 20 snap count or less. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, Blewett, I'm going to be on air for Fantasy Freestyle 7 to 8 p.m., so I will not be able to make these switches if it happens. So it's all you this evening, all right, brother man?
I'm supposed to be on with Honolulu tonight. That's not a joke, ESPN Honolulu, but I'll figure out a way to get it done. The inactive should come out right around 6:30 or so, so I'll be on it. And that's it. You know, Andrew Luck throwing the ball 62 times last week with four touchdowns. I think you Andrew Luck owners are looking up simply because they're going to have to do that all year. This guy's going to put the ball up 50 times a lot, Dan.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see what Robert Turbin does in his opportunity tonight, too.
Sony Michel night, Nyheim Hines night.
Stereotype. Edelman back. Hines. Get him in your lineups. Edelman back. Targets tonight.
Julian Edelman return. How did we forget that? We'll talk to you tomorrow on FST, folks. Good luck.